In a recent How Do I video, I demonstrated an implementation of the persistent communications pattern for AJAX using the ASP.NET extensions for AJAX and the update panel control. The update panel control is a great, straightforward way of implementing AJAX-style programming in your ASP.NET applications, but it's not perfect for every scenario. So in this session, I'll demonstrate using the persistent communications pattern for AJAX by implementing web service method calls from your client-side JavaScript code. Just to review quickly, the problem that we're trying to solve here is that the World Wide Web runs on top of a protocol called HTTP, and HTTP has no state mechanism built in. So since the birth of World Wide Web applications development, we've been coming up with tricky ways to add state management to this innately stateless protocol. In a classical client-server application, there's a static communication between the client and the server. But in a World Wide Web-based application, that static connection between the client and the server doesn't exist. Thus, the need for the persistent communications mechanism, especially as we start to morph our web applications away from a user interface design that is click and page navigate, and more towards the rich internet application style of UI design where the web page becomes an application container that the user doesn't frequently navigate away from. And migrating towards that user interface style really requires that we have a mechanism by which our client code can communicate with the server independent of any specific action taken in the user interface by the user. So we want that communications to take place even if the user isn't clicking or leveraging any of the controls in the user interface. So to do that, let's fire up Visual Web Developer Express, create a new AJAX-enabled website. I'm going to just delete the default.asbx page so that we can create a file with that conforms with the naming conventions that I choose to use. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to be calling web service methods. So in that case, where you want to create a web service, I'm going to use CodeBehind, which I think is definitely the way to go when building ASP.NET applications. Let's provide a function name for our service method of getUpdate, and all I'm going to do is return the current date and time as a string. So notice that here's our method name, getUpdate. There are no input parameters, which is important to know from our JavaScript calling. And we're going to return a string, but the string that we're going to return is actually going to be HTML. And I'm going to include an HTML break element. And the reason I want to do this on the server rather than append it on the client is that it's just much easier to do string handling in Visual Basic or in C# than it is in JavaScript. Now, one really common mistake, I get an email almost every day about this, is that folks say, I'm getting these not found error messages from my JavaScript code on my client, but the web service that I'm calling is in the same project, and I can't figure out what the problem is. So one of the things that you must do if you're going to call the methods that are in this class from your JavaScript code is to use the script service attribute to define your class. So system.web.script.services.script-service. And basically what this does is tells the runtime, by virtue of an entry in the web.config file, to intercept calls to files whose extensions are .smx and route them through the AJAX script handler factory. And this is important because when we call a web service method from our client-side code, we don't want that to be a synchronous call. We don't want the user to not be able to do anything else in the browser while they're waiting for a return from that call. So in order to do that, even though we don't want you to have to specifically write asynchronous handling logic in your service method, we want that to happen by virtue of features implemented in the runtime. So by using this attribute, we wire up the script handler factory for this web service class. Now that I have this defined, now I can go ahead and create the ASP.NET page that we're going to call that method from. And so let's just call it PCP service calls for persistent communication pattern service calls. Of course, we're going to need a script manager on our page here, as we do for all pages that use the Microsoft AJAX technology. And in this service, in the script manager, we're going to include a services collection because we want to be able to call our service methods from our web service. So let's add a service reference. The path is service.asmx, and we need to close our XML element. I'm just going to fix the formatting a little bit here. Now, what we want to do with the content that's returned from our service method call is append it to this div. So in order to do that, I'm going to have to give this div an identifier that I can use to reference it in my JavaScript code. So just call it content area and close that, give it a close paren. Rename the page persistent communication pattern demo. Now I can add a JavaScript segment where we can write the client-side code. Type is going to be text JavaScript. Now remember, what we're doing here is we're simulating a static connection to the server. And how we're really going to do that is every certain interval of time, we're going to ping the server to see if there are any actionable items that can be pulled down to the client. So in order to do that, the first thing we're going to need to know is what is that interval going to be. So let's create a JavaScript variable called delay in seconds, and we want this to be the seconds in between those background pings back to the server. And let's set it equal to five seconds. Now we're going to call our service method defined here in our web service.smx file. And in order to do that, we're going to have to, because what we're really calling is not the service method directly, but we're calling an asynchronous JavaScript callable proxy to that server. Because it's going to be asynchronous, we need to specify JavaScript functions to be called whenever that service call is completed in one of the three ways that it might complete. So the first thing is we want to handle an error if one happens. So we'll say on error, and we also need an on timeout. Now, timeout and error are different. On timeout gets called if you make a request to your web service method and it doesn't answer in whatever the required time limit is. On error is what happens if you call the web service, the web server was successfully communicated, but there was an error in processing your request. So some error information gets sent back. Now, the details of what you would implement here are really semantically specific to your application. So I'm just going to leave them as empty functions, and we'll pass the file names in as parameters to the asynchronous proxy to the service method. But you'll want to implement functionality here that is specific to the web page that you're developing. Also, this is the one we hope always happens, on complete, which will be the successful completion of our service method. And if that happens, what we should get here is we should get that HTML code, so the current date and time plus the HTML that we appended to it. And then we want to do something with that data that gets returned. So in our case, what we're going to do is we want to append it to this content area div. So to do that, let's get the inner HTML for that div and then set it equal to whatever is already there, so we're just appending, plus whatever we got returned from our service call. Okay, so here are the three functions that will be called by the JavaScript proxy to our web service. Next, we need to actually make the web service call. So let's create another function, which I'll call constant call because that's what it's going to do. It's constantly going to call our web service every X number of seconds. In our case, it's going to be every 5 seconds. And here we're going to call the web service. And really, we're going to call the function getUpdate. Now, another note here, often folks I talk to are a little bit confused about the syntax here. Web service our the name of our Asmx file is web service, and what we're using to resolve the our method name is also web service, but this is the class name, not the file name. Because we used Visual Studio to generate the shell for our service method, it just so happens that the class name and the file name is the same, in our case web service. But what we're really specifying here in our JavaScript code is class.method, not filename.method. Folks get confused about that sometimes. So it's class.method. And remember, I noted that we don't have any input parameters. If we did have any input parameters, we would specify them before we specified the functions. But since there are no input parameters, we could just go ahead and specify the function names. So the first is going to be on complete, then on timeout, then on error. So here's the function that we're going to call from our JavaScript code, and it in turn is going to call the getUpdate method, and then based on the successful or unsuccessful completion, it will call the appropriate function. Assuming it's successful, this is where the content in our actual page will get updated. But we need to implement the persistence portion of this pattern. So in order to do that, we want this function, constant call, to get called every X number of seconds, which in our case is going to be 5. So what we're going to do is we're going to call the JavaScript function setTimeout, and we're going to call the constant call JavaScript function, and we're going to do that every 5 seconds. So delay in seconds. Now this function wants milliseconds instead of seconds, so we need to multiply the delay in seconds variable times 1,000. And just, you could hard code this, of course, just the number of milliseconds, but in this case I've just put a variable, so if I wanted to change it to 10 seconds, I could just change that value and everything would work. All right, so now what's going to happen here is once constant call gets called once, we're going to call the web service, get the update the page with whatever it gets returned, and then we're going to set a timer that says, hey, in 5 more seconds, call constant call again, which is this function. So you can see we've got a neat little bit of recursive JavaScript here. So we're calling from inside this function, we're calling ourselves. So that's the sequence of events, and once we get here, the persistent communications is initiated. It's happening every 5 seconds, but we got to get things started before this can happen. So we need to get this started. So to do that, let's add another function, and we'll call this initConstantCall. And all we're going to do here is start the timer. Right, so we're not going to call the web service, we're just going to start the timer. Right, so this is just an extra step. We could actually skip this step and call this initially, but that would make the web service call happen right away. So it's in our case, I don't want to call the web service when the page first loads, I just want to start the timer. And then after 5 seconds, this will get called, and once this gets called the first time, after this 5 second timeout, it will automatically reset the timer every 5 seconds. The only thing left to do is we have to call this when the page loads. So we'll go down here. In our body tag, we'll add an onLoad event, which is going to be JavaScript. And that JavaScript is just going to be a call to initConstantCall. Now, let's go ahead and try and run our application, and if I haven't made any typographic errors, load up. Notice we have no content to begin with because our div was empty as we started. 5 seconds should pass, and then the first bit of content gets streamed to the server. Now after 5 seconds, so we see 5 seconds later, we went from 13 to 18, we should go to 23 next. Should go to 28 next. And so notice we're not getting full page refresh. We're getting that real Ajax-style look and feel refresh that we want, but it's predicated on the implementation of our persistent communications pattern and not requiring any specific user interaction in our web page. Now, one thing to note here is that I've implemented this just based on a timer. But the thing to remember here is that I'm setting up this timer here, but in this function, we can make any decisions that we want, right? So this is where we can decide, based on any circumstance we can determine on the client, even whether or not we should make that call back to the server. So we can just use this timer-based mechanism to say, hey, every X seconds, ping the server and see if there's something for us to do, or we could use as complex a logic as we wanted to in our client-side code to determine whether or not we even want to bother asking the server if there's anything that we need to do. So, again, the sophistication of this sort of calling mechanism is only bound by the limits of your own imagination. So, hopefully, this will give you another great tool in your toolbox in terms of building rich internet applications using the ASP.NET Ajax stack by implementing the persistent communications pattern for Ajax using service methods and client-side JavaScript code as opposed to the controls-based implementation demonstrated in the previous How Do I video.